Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Tish Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show. I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Around the world once again. This is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. It is 12:32 Thursday morning here on the East Coast, July 26, 2018. As I said on previous shows, folks, I am an impulsive person. I do what I want to do when I want to do it. If I want to do a show in my underwear at 3 o'clock in the morning, folks, I'm going to do it, okay? And nobody's going to stop me. Nobody. I thought about this show actually a couple hours ago, actually probably mid-afternoon. I'm like, all right, you know what? I want to do a show. I have some things on my mind I want to talk about. I want to talk about Invicta and Invicta 30, which just took place last Friday. I want to talk about the UFC, Dana White, and his ridiculous birthday party for his son. It's just absolutely disgusting, I think. And we're going to talk about UFC Fight Night taking place this weekend. Some interesting fights. I want to give my thoughts on that. I got to tell you, though, folks, I am an absolute beast. I really am. I went to the gym today, first time in a few months. And as fat as I am, okay, as in bad health as I think I am, I mean, any day now I'm expecting to drop dead of a heart attack. I am. I mean, that's just the way I think. That's the way I feel sometimes. You know, I get myself checked out, believe me, but you know, that's just the way you know, you think sometimes. That's the way I feel sometimes, you know. And so I go to the gym today, and I did the elliptical machine, one of those elliptical Stairmaster machines. I don't know what it's called, but it one side goes up and the other side goes down, and the arms go back and forth. It's great. I did it the highest resistance. I did it 120, the highest resistance, and I did it for 20 minutes, and my heart rate was over 150, probably averaged around 155 to about 160 for that entire duration. And I lasted 20 minutes, and I could have went another 10, 15 minutes. It was amazing. It really is. I mean, I really surprised myself, you know? And I was as fat as I was, I thought I was, because I went to the doctor today. I have a finger infection. The middle finger on my right finger has been infected for about a week now. And I swear to God, I thought I was going to die. The amount of pain I've been in was unbelievable. I take my hat off to some of these soldiers or some of these people that are chronically injured, you know, the amount of pain that they must feel, because I felt with my finger infection, like I just felt like I couldn't go on. I felt like my life was being disrupted by, you know, this injury. You don't realize just how much you take your body sometimes for granted until a small part of you is injured. And so I put it off going to the doctor until today. And I went to the doctor, and they cut me open. They cut my finger open. They drained all the pus. They drained all the blood. It was very, very painful. But I'm just getting over it now. They prescribed me antibiotics, and they prescribed me ointments to put on the finger. And so far, so good. It's been feeling a lot better now. But, geez, I've really been in pain the last week or so. So that was pretty much my day today. That's what happened in the lead up to this great show. If you want to give me a call at 347-326-9749, you can. That is 347-326-9749. We also have the Facebook live stream going on. Chime in on Facebook if you want. Appreciate it. We got the champ, Curran Jacobs, in there. We got Mike Bork, former MMA fighter. Esteban Payan, who's a very, very good fighter. Thank you guys for joining us. I really, really appreciate it. All right, I want to talk about Invicta 30. I've been a fan of Invicta for quite some time now, okay? I watch every Invicta event on UFC Fight Pass. I don't know what's going to happen with Invicta. I'm assuming that it's going to be part of this ESPN Plus deal. I don't know. I'm not going to get ESPN Plus. I've gotten used to UFC Fight Pass, and by and large, I like UFC Fight Pass. I like some of the program that they have on there, some of the content on there. Now they're switching to ESPN Plus, and I just have no interest in seeing that. I'm sort of an old dog. I like my sites, and I like everything that I'm used to. But whatever. You know, Invicta is a good product to me. I like the announcing team, even though sometimes they're not as professional as they should be, as you think they would be. But by and large, I like TJ DeSantis, and I like, what's her name, Julie Kedzie. I think they make for a good combination, and they do a generally good job. You know, I like the product. I like the production. I like pretty much everything about Invicta. I like women's fighting, no question about that. And so they had their Invicta 30 event there, and I want to say probably was it Kansas at the Scottish Rites Temple or something like that. I don't know. And you had a bunch of fights on here. I actually pissed off one of the champions. I'll talk a little bit about that. I didn't think that Jinyu Frey won that fight. I thought that was a robbery, and you know, I posted such a line. I got a few people upset, but that's the way it is. That's the way it goes here. You know, a lot of these MMA guys are afraid to really voice their opinion. I'm a passionate guy. I don't hold back. I say whatever's on my mind, and I tweet whatever's on my mind. Sort of like President Trump, you know what I mean? And that's it. I don't care if I offend you. That's fine. If not, then good. Okay, that's great. So, but I got to tell you, I was really kind of, I want to say, taken aback, and maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe I'm over-exaggerating this. Maybe you know, most people don't really care about this or don't. I think it was a big deal. You have the strawweight fighter, Heather Jo Clark, who fought in the UFC before. She was maybe a 500 fighter, one fight above 500, with a record of 7-6. She's fought Alexis Grasso. She's fought, you know, a bunch of other women at that weight. And she's a tough fighter. There's no question about that. She's a journey woman, as they would say. Okay, she's a little out there. She's part of Extreme Couture, and you know what happens out there in Vegas, okay? People start taking substances, and you know, it's just a whole bunch of craziness over there. And so, you know, the were talking about how, in the lead up to this fight, TJ DeSantis was talking about how she was channeling Bob Follis, the former Extreme Couture coach, grappling coach, who passed away last December. I believe it was a suicide. He also was a coach over at Team Quest North. I believe a guy who's been around a long time, has trained a lot of fighters, and you know, generally was very, very well respected. Just kind of was always interested in Bob Follis and this guy. I've never interviewed him, never met him, but he seemed like somebody that, and as I said this on previous shows, he seemed like somebody that definitely had some aura of depression around him. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but you know, seeing that guy a lot of times, I just could feel that there was some sort of emptiness or some sort of I don't know in the guy's mind or in the guy's soul. You know what I mean? And it just, to me, it was just interesting. And then when he actually committed suicide, I said that I wasn't really surprised by that. You know, I just wasn't, because there's a part of me that kind of, you know, foresee that happening. And again, I know nothing about, you know, this guy's personal life. I don't know anything. I really don't even know that many people that know him. I'm sure there are a lot of people that were close to him that know a lot about the situation. And I personally think that we as the media and the public don't know a lot about, you know, what happened. What was the lead up to, you know, this man taking his own life? Suicide is on the rise in America. It's up in every state with the exception of Nevada. And, you know, I just think that there, from my understanding, he lost his brother a few years ago and he was never really recovered from that. And I don't know. You know, I think that there could be a lot of useful information in this case that, you know, maybe somebody should write a book, or maybe somebody should do a documentary, really go in depth about, you know, what was going on in this man's life that led him to do that, you know, something we could all learn and we could all benefit from. But, in any event, she talked about, or TJ DeSantis mentioned that Heather Jo Clark was using a medium to communicate with Robert Follis, and he was giving her advice and helping her prepare for her fight against Kimberly Novais. Now, look, I got to tell you, I understand the need for people to reacquaint themselves or connect with those that have passed on. I've lost a lot of people in my life. Believe me, folks. I lost my mother. I lost my father. I lost my grandmother. I've lost a lot of cousins, you know, over the last 10 years of my life, 13 years of my life. I know death. I know death pretty well. I worked for a funeral home for years. I picked up thousands and thousands of bodies. I know that nobody's promised tomorrow. I know that, you know, when it's your time, that's it. There's no, you know, I don't believe in miracles or spirituality. I believe in science, okay? So I understand that. I'm not trying to minimize, you know, people's emotional needs here. But I just think it's ridiculous. And I also want to preface this by saying that, you know, I've worked with paranormal groups before. If you go on my YouTube page, you could see my brother runs a paranormal diagnostics group. And years ago, back in 2014, myself and my brother made national news. We were investigating the Hotel Somerset, and we were interviewing residents there, and Yahoo News picked us up, and every major newspaper in the country, you know, ran our story and ran our investigation. There was a picture of me right on Yahoo News. This is about 4 years ago. So, you know, I do have somewhat of a connection to the paranormal community there. But I got to tell you, I've never believed it. I've never believed that anybody could channel somebody, speak to somebody who's passed on. And quite frankly, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's absolutely ludicrous. And I don't know why T.J. DeSantis would bring this up. I mean, do you see commentators on HBO Sports bring something like that up? Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. Maybe Max Kellerman or maybe Jim Lampley has said that in the past about fighters, boxers coming to the ring or whatnot. But to me, it just seems ridiculous. It really does. I mean, I don't know why people would believe that. And like I said, if you want to believe that, if you're a fighter and you want to believe that you're coach who's deceased is giving him messages through a medium, that's fine. But I just think that you're almost a little bit out there. I really do. I think that's a little bit too much there. You know what I mean? I don't see how anybody could really believe that's the case. And I would be anxious to see how many female fighters out there believe this stuff. Like, how many female fighters, I bet you probably a majority of them, believe that they could contact the dead and, believe in paranormal activity, ghosts, and fill in the blank, you know? I don't know, but I would be willing to bet that a lot of them, because a lot of these women's fighters are out there, folks. They really are. You know, they're kind of on a different plane. They're a little wacky. You know, Chuck Liddell said it years ago that we all have, meaning MMA fighters, a screw loose in their head. And that's absolutely the case, I think, with these fighters out there. But, you know, to each his own, that's fine. If you want to believe that, if you believe that, that's great. I just find it ridiculous. And I find it ridiculous that T.J. DeSantis would even mention that. Why would he mention that? I mean, come on. You know, you can't think of anything else to say. Does he expect people to believe that? That she's somehow communicating with Bob Follis? I mean, come on. it's just ridiculous. Nevertheless, she did win the fight. Congratulations to her. And this was not so much. It was I don't want to say controversial decision. It was a unanimous decision that she won. Now, the main event was Jinyu Fry versus Mina Grusander, okay? And this was a fight that I think a majority of people thought that Mina won. Mina controlled the action. She got takedowns. She landed severe elbows that hurt Fry. And even the announcers, and I said on Twitter that I don't think that these announcers are really biased. I mean, you don't tune into an Invicta show and you know, hear bias on the part of these commentators. But they were certain that Grusander won this fight and that she, you know, at least won, you know, three or four of the five rounds of the fight. But nonetheless, Jinyu Fry got the unanimous decision, which is just absolutely ridiculous. 49-46, 48-47, 48-47. And I don't know which fight the judges were watching. Like I said, I had felt that clearly Grusander won the fight. And after the fight, or I think it was at some point, it wasn't in between rounds, but at some point it got out that Jinyu Fry insulted Grusander in saying that she smelled during the fight and whatnot. I just didn't think that was really, really good sportsmanship. I mean, you had Fry that congratulated Grusander after the fight, and then afterwards she's saying that she smelled. It just was a real low blow. But one of the fighters that we interviewed, Chaz Skelly, who's a very, very good UFC fighter in his own right, and like I said, he's been on this program, actually was defending Fry, saying that, you know, if Grusander comes in and she smells, then, you know, she should be called out for such. She's an adult, and she reaps what she sows. And I respect Chas Scully. I respect his opinion and whatnot. I just don't agree with it. I don't know if there's a little bias in his part. I don't know if he trains with her. He's from that area in Texas, I believe. And I didn't think she won the fight. I think she was the recipient of a bad decision. But who knows? Maybe they'll run it back. You know, maybe you'll have some of the other fighters in that division. That was an atomweight fight. Come up and challenge her, and we'll see what happens in the future in that division. But I got to tell you, I just was really, really off put by that decision. The fight before that, Felisa Spencer versus Helena Kolesnik. Now I got to tell you, this Helena Kolesnik has no ground game whatsoever, and that's not me being mean or anything like that. That's just the absolute truth. She has zero ground game. We saw this when she fought Pam Sorensen. We saw this again where she initially got, the second round, she got a takedown against Felicia, and then she winds up on her back. And Felicia takes her back when she'd previously got taken down. She really is almost a white belt out there. And I don't know why Invicta would push her, would give her almost essentially a co-main event fight. It doesn't make sense to me. But she's got a lot to learn on the ground. And Felicia Spencer is still undefeated. It's not surprising there. She's a well-rounded fighter. She wants to fight Megan Anderson. She's at 145 pounds. And in that division, there's not a lot of fighters. So it's conceivable that she could go up to the UFC if she gets a couple more wins. And who knows, you know, what could happen. Maybe she could fight Cyborg, or maybe she could fight whoever, in that weight class, a few fighters that are at the 145-pound weight class. Cyborg fought Kuniskaya in her last fight, and that was just a complete wash. And so, you know, they're struggling to get opponents for Cyborg. They're talking about Cyborg fighting Pam Sorensen, which will be an obliteration. So there's just not much out there for Cyborg other than Amanda Nunes. And, I don't know what the status is of that fight, but Amanda would have to come up, and she would have to fight Cyborg probably somewhere in Brazil. Who knows? But we're going to have to see what happens. But Felicia Spencer definitely has a bright future in that weight division. Okay. What do we have now? We've got Dana White throwing his son a $1 million birthday party. This is really, really obnoxious. This really is. You recall when we had Jerry Millen on the program a couple of years ago, and Jerry Millen was talking about how Dana White, you know, spent $50,000 to put snow in his driveway. Dana White has these ridiculous office artifacts that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, this is a guy, who, unfortunately, whether you like this or not, has benefited from the exploitation of fighters, okay? There are virtually no millionaire fighters anymore. There have been very few MMA fighters that have ever fought for $1 million or more, okay? It just doesn't happen. The fighters in MMA get a much lower percentage of the overall revenue compared to boxers. Being an MMA fighter is just not sustainable financially. The average MMA fighter, as of a few years ago, according to James Fang, and this is probably the same, makes $15,000-$16,000 a year. Okay, it's just not a sustainable sport. We're seeing fighters like Max Holloway now. May retire at the age of 26 due to weight-cutting issues and brain trauma. And you got fighters like Cole Conrad and Ben Askren fighting, retiring very early in their 30s, in their early 30s, because it's not a sustainable sport. You've got so many different aspects to mixed martial arts in terms of just how devastating it is to the body. The weight cutting, that's something we're really seeing now that's coming out and really damaging fighters. You have fighters like Darren Till going blind during his weight cut, not even able to make weight anyway, you know, killing themselves to make weight. There's no solution in sight. And you got fighters like, you know, Josh Emmett, who fought Jeremy Stevens and has his whole face friggin' broken. I mean, there's so many bones and so much damage he sustained in that fight, most likely going to be permanent damage. And that's really, really scary. And so these fighters are just absolutely literally killing themselves. And yet you have Dana White out there who's never fought, okay, was a boxer-size instructor out of Boston, was lent money by the Fertitta brothers, okay, knew Lorenzo Fertitta, and they got him out there in Vegas. Then all of a sudden, you know, we know what happened with the Fertitta brothers, how they purchased the UFC. And then, what do you know? You've got Dana White that is making, you know, $300, $400 million. It's just mind-boggling. It really is. It's one of the evils of our system, where you've got one person that could accumulate so much wealth and income, and the vast majority of fighters out there that are languishing in poverty, even former UFC champions that are just, you know, that are really going to have a tough road ahead of them because of the structure that exists out there. And I got to tell you, I'm just sick of seeing this. I follow Dana White on Instagram. He hasn't blocked me on Instagram. He blocked me on Twitter, but not Instagram. And I see his kid, and it's offensive. I mean, this kid is just completely spoiled. You know, you could see all the people at this party, and just a bunch of rich white kids. It just makes everybody just absolutely sick. Actually, he dropped more than $1 million on his son's 16th birthday. You know, I think what's going to happen with Dana White is eventually he's going to be out. Eventually, the shareholders of WMEIMG are going to get rid of Dana White. Dana White, as I understand it, was not involved with the ESPN negotiations. He was quiet for a bunch of months leading up to the negotiations, and after the negotiations take place, you know, Dana White is back. I think they look at him most likely as a liability, which he clearly is. His you know, Twitter fights and his language, insulting people and this and that. And I don't think he's going to be around much longer. And I think also what's happening is that some of the fighters that are now are ex-fighters that are not under the employ of the UFC anymore, they are going to start to throw dirt at Dana White because it is convenient for them. But nonetheless, it could do a lot of damage to Dana White. You've got Brendan Schaub, as I talked about last week. You've got this Josh Thompson and whatnot. And, you know, this is like a Donald Trump. It was surprising that it took so long for women to come out and say, listen, Donald Trump sexually harassed me. Donald Trump did this. Dana White will have his accusers come, and that's going to be all she wrote. I mean, why would we think otherwise? You know, look at Hollywood, for crying out loud. You've got you know, every actor under the sun being accused by multiple women of sexual harassment. Well, you know, you think that Dana White is above the fray? I don't, because these guys are, this is how they operate, okay? He also got his son a BMW. That's nice. I'm sure his son will crash it in another couple weeks, and then he'll get another BMW. he had a huge party at the Las Vegas Brooklyn Bowl, and Kendrick Lamar played, apparently. What a great set, and great song, I'm sure, that Kendrick Lamar has. It was just really, really offensive. You had, wow, Everlast, DJ Carnage. DJ Carnage is a great guy. I know him personally. They all played at this party, and it's just pretty offensive there. It really is. But, you know, look, some people like this. Some people enjoy this type of stuff. I just think it's obnoxious. It really is. I think it separates them from the working class. I really do. Okay. $1 million on a birthday party. It's morally wrong. That's the way I think of it, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's morally wrong. And I think Dana White is a scumbag. I really do, folks. I really do. He is a scumbag. All right, you've got UFC Fight Night coming up here. I believe it is in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I'm trying to pull it up online here, and I don't know if it's working or not. My computer, I'm streaming so many different things. I've got the Blog Talk Radio site going. I've got the streaming site going for Facebook, for my Facebook stream. I've got Google. I got a lot of stuff going on here, folks, as you can imagine here. It's UFC from Scotiabank Saddle Drone, Calgary, Canada. And it has some good fights on this card. Eddie Alvarez is taking on Dustin Poirier. This is a really, really good rematch that could go either way. I mean, you've got Dustin Poirier coming off of a very, very impressive win over Justin Gaethje. Of course, Eddie Alvarez also coming off of a very, very good win. I believe his last fight was versus Gaethje, if I'm not mistaken. So both of these guys, if I'm not mistaken, have come off wins over Justin Gaethje. And, you know, it's going to be who has the momentum and who is the hotter fighter at this moment. You know, I don't remember what happened in the first fight. I mean, the first fight was very, very close, and I think it was ultimately ruled it was ultimately ruled a no contest, yeah. But it was really, really a close fight. And I think Dustin, though, at this point, Dustin is the hotter fighter. MMA is a sport of streaks, folks. Okay, that's what it is. If one fighter is fighting better and is on a hot streak, he has a better chance of winning against, you know, a fighter that maybe isn't as hot as he is. You know, we don't know, you know, if Dustin Poirier is the hotter fighter, but I'm just telling you, from my perspective, he's got two wins in a row, and he seems like the hotter fighter. He hasn't lost since Michael Johnson, going back to 2016. And if I had to put my money on a winner of this fight, it would be Justin Gaethje. I think Eddie Alvarez is a great fighter, no question about that. But, you know, Eddie's not a young guy anymore. Eddie's got to be 36 years old, you know. And I think he's had a great career, undoubtedly, but I'm not sure how much longer he's going to be able to continue to fight. And, you know, his fight career may be on the way down, you know. So we'll see what happens. You've also got Joanna Jędrzejczyk versus Tisha Torres. This should be an easy fight for Joanna, okay. I think she's going to look to come back against her two losses versus Rose, which were definitive losses. I don't know how Joanna can think that she didn't lose her last fight with Rose, but nonetheless, she's going to be in for a pretty easy fight against Tisha, who doesn't have knockout powers. Very well-rounded Tisha, but she doesn't have the stand-up ability that Joanna has. I think that's going to put her over the top. This is probably the next fight that the most anticipated fight, at least that I'm looking forward to, is Jose Aldo versus Jeremy Stephens. Now, Jeremy Stephens has really, really been on a tear. This guy is just absolutely frightening. And as I said earlier, MMA is a streak sport. You know, it's a sport where you could have someone like Jeremy Stephens who has 14 losses on his record, but the way he's fighting now would certainly make him the favorite to beat Aldo. You know, Aldo is coming off of, if I'm not mistaken, a couple losses against Max Holloway. Okay, Aldo is just seemingly, I don't want to say on the decline, but you know, because Max Holloway is a great fighter, but you know, he's someone that you can't look at Jose Aldo and say, yeah, you know, he's on fire right now. You really can't. Now, anything could happen. You know, he could end up outpointing Stevens, or Stevens could knock him out. That's how this fight is going to go. Either Stevens is going to knock him out, or Jose Aldo is going to win a decision. Is going to, you know, beat Stevens up with the leg kick and just be a little bit faster than Stevens with his striking, a little bit more crisp and faster. We're going to see. We're going to see. But you know what? I really think my gut tells me that Jeremy Stephens is going to win, that Jeremy Stephens is going to knock out Jose Aldo, and then, you know, we're going to have to see what happens from there. I don't know. You know, but you know, this is a guy who's been around a long time. What he did to Josh Emmett and Duhoy Choi before that is just absolutely frightening. And again, this is a game where, you know, whoever's hot at the time, whoever's on the rise, you know, they are more likely to win than other fighters that are, you know, declining or not as hot as the other fighter that they're fighting. So that's really it. Those are my picks for UFC Canada. UFC on Fox 30, taking place July 28th on Fox Sports 1. Okay, I'll probably be around to watch that. I don't know. I may have to go to my other job. I have two jobs now, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe that? You know how many hours a week I work? It's disgusting. Probably 70, 80 hours a week. It's really, really disgusting, folks. I'm literally working myself to death. Working myself to death at the same time while eating myself to death. What else do we got going on here on Carson's Corner? Nothing really. I mean, I'm just doing these shows now when I can. Not really relying on interviewing anybody, but if that happens, it happens, you know. Somebody gets in touch with us and wants to be on the program, we'll gladly have them on the program. I have no problem with that. I want to encourage you to go to Eddie Goldman's website, eddiegoldman.com. Eddie Goldman just interviewed Scott Coker at that DAZN. I know it's not DAZN, it's DAZN, okay? I don't know why they're pronouncing it as DAZN, it's DAZN. There was a press conference a couple weeks ago. I was supposed to go to that press conference, but I told you what happened. I had no money in my bank account, and I couldn't go. But Eddie went. Eddie spoke to some of the bigwigs over there at DAZN, and he spoke to Scott Coker. Now, I don't know if you guys remember this, but years ago, when Coker went to go work for the UFC and Zuffa, this is so funny, Eddie Goldman left Coker a message on his show, and he called him a traitor or a sellout. He was like really, really, he was just laying into Coker. And they didn't talk for a while, as I understand it. And then I was there when Eddie was there. We covered Bellator when King Mo fought that kid from Colorado. I forget the kid's name. He was a UFC fighter. And King Mo won. And I think Bobby Lashley was on that card. Bobby Lashley fought Josh Burns. And it was at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, and I don't remember what other fights took place. I think LeVar Johnson fought, and yeah, it was a pretty decent card. And Eddie and I went, and he they were Coker was backstage, and it was the first time they saw each other since Eddie left that message. And I guess they've reconciled, and Eddie, was interviewing Coker last week or the week before at the DAZN press conference, and they were talking about Bellator and streaming and what's next for Bellator, some of the specifics about the DAZN Bellator deal, up and coming fighters in Bellator, a lot of interesting stuff there. It was only about 10-15 minutes of his show, and you could visit you could listen to that at eddiegoldman.com. That is eddiegoldman.com or nhbnews.blogspot.com, and you could hear Coker. And because Bellator has not had good ratings, I mean, Bellator on Paramount, their viewership has really, really gone down, I think. Now, they're trying to have good fights, key fights to get people into DAZN to pay $9.99. You've got Gegard Mousasi taking on Rory McDonald. That's going to be a good fight. That's going to be available on the streaming network. You've also got the Bellator heavyweight tournament taking place, the semifinals of the heavyweight tournament, Fedor versus Chael Sonnen, and I might try to go to that. I don't know if that's going to be on DAZN or not, but I think they're kicking it off with Mousasi and Rory McDonald, and so you've also got Anthony Joshua and Povetkin that are kicking it off. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal in terms of subscribers. I don't think they're going to be able to get the amount of subscribers that ESPN Plus is going to get, because ESPN Plus and ESPN, the brand, they're able to offer more desired content on their streaming service than, DAZN is going to be able to do. Okay? Just my opinion. I mean, I don't think a lot of people are going to subscribe to see the UFC. Maybe they will, maybe they don't. I don't know. But, when the UFC launched their Fight Pass subscription service, they wanted to get about 1 million subscribers. And from my understanding, they fell well short of that. You maybe got 400,000 or 500,000 Fight Pass subscribers. That's it. And now they're going to ask people to sign up for ESPN Plus. From my understanding, it's confusing on how to even get to it. There's a lot of hurdles that you have to jump through to get to it, and you're going to have 15 streaming events on ESPN Plus, plus other content on there, and the UFC is still going to have their pay-per-views that they put out there. But I just don't see a lot of people subscribing to this stuff. I could be wrong. I don't know. But, people are cutting the cord. People are going online. People are fed up with the cable companies and TV prices and all that stuff. So, there's a lot of research, and the executives are doing what they think is in the best interest. And Coker even pointed out that, listen, my son watches these fights now streaming online, and that's the way of the future. And Coker could be right. These guys could be right, and maybe people will subscribe to these streaming services. I mean, I subscribe to Fight Pass, but $9.99 a month, and I'm going to cancel my subscription soon. But I'm not going to be subscribing to ESPN or DAZN. But maybe a lot of people will. Who knows? I'll just stream it somehow, if you know what I mean. All right, thanks very much to everyone out there that listened. We've got thousands of listeners all across the country, in just about every state, and about half of the countries in the world, folks, are listening to Carson's Corner, the MMA podcast, and the political show, Carson's Corner, with the Election Boycott Advocates. My name is Bob Carson. Friend me on Facebook, facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.